two texts. The first is Mark chapter 15, verses 29 to 31. And they that passed by railed on Jesus, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. And the second is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, the words of St. Paul. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. These are the texts. We who attend this seminary do so for a variety of reasons, some of them perhaps bad, most of them, no doubt, good. Among the bad ones could be succumbing to parental pressure, drifting for the lack of anything better to do, avoiding the exposure of incompetence in less sheltered vocations, pursuing a path that admittedly can lead to success and prominence more quickly and more easily than many alternative vocational routes, or implementing some self-imposed messianic mission, such as liberalizing the church's theology or shoring up the traditions of the fathers. God alone knows whether any of these reasons motivate any of us. Needless to say, it is not within the realm of human jurisdiction to attribute these motives to anyone. In fact, it is hardly charitable even to mention them as remote possibilities. Yet, if it is not in place for me to suggest them, it is certainly in order for you to be aware of them. But I am sure that most of us, if not all of us, are here for good reasons. The most common one being that we want to learn the art of seeking and saving those lost for whom Christ died. Basically, most of us are mission motivated. We want to do all we can, if you'll pardon the crude metaphor, to master the salvation trade. It is not my intention this morning to remove or even to dilute this most commendable of motives for ministerial preparation, but rather to supplement it. Let us think of the world by all means. But let us think of it together with remembrance of ourselves. Our mission outreach should include also those of us who reach out. We too are among the lost for whom Christ died. We too, therefore, need to be sought and saved. Certainly, among the reasons for our being at this seminary is not only to save the world, but also, in the language of the Bible, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We ought to do the one and not leave the other undone. Imagine, if you can, spending 12 productive years at synodical schools, graduating from each of them with honors, organizing a successful mission that eventually mushrooms into a large parish, preaching Christ crucified and risen from the pulpit in meetings at bedside, heading up mission programs, collecting mission dollars, organizing prayer-thons for missionaries overseas, doing all this and ending up in hell oneself. What could be more damnably ironic? Why, it's the kind of thing to make Satan twitch his tail with glee. And it's the kind of masterpiece that only he, the art fiend, could concoct. It's got class. It was with this ironic possibility that the mob taunted Jesus as he hung on the cross. Save thyself, they jeered, and come down from the cross. And when he failed to supply the sign they demanded, they concluded, he saved others, himself he cannot save. But the empirical evidence they demanded came a few days later in an unexpected way. The cross Christ, who had failed to step down from the cross, came up with an even greater miracle. He emerged from the tomb. He did more than avoid death. He overcame death. But it would be a non sequitur to expect every story, our story, for instance, to end this successfully. Just a few years later, Paul was painfully aware that in spite of the triumph of the Master, the ironic possibility of defeat still remained for his followers. "I keep under my body," he confessed, "and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Our preaching to others is, of course, vital in the accomplishment of God's plan of salvation. The gospel we proclaim packs a wallop, a mighty wallop, the power of God and the salvation, no less. And God has given you and me the unique honor of ministering that power to people. Yet we must remember that however vital our saying of the gospel is, we pastors are never saved because of our saying it, neither because of our skill in saying it, nor because of our sincerity in saying it, nor because of our faithfulness in saying it, nor because of our longevity in saying it. "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." God judges us as he judges anyone else, not by what we say, but by what we believe. Hence, it is possible that having preached to others, we ourselves can be castaways. And the legions of hell will welcome us ravenously with the taunt, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." And therein lies the solution to our problem: to recognize the truth contained in this taunt as applied to us. "Himself he cannot save." That's right. Absolutely correct. We can't. This is the utterly devastating truth about ourselves that each of us must face up to. That I, GPA of 392, a systematics major and holder of a merit scholarship, star of the basketball five and campus bull Dremel, and just between you and me, a chap rather facile with words, that I am totally without resources when it comes to my salvation. Myself I cannot save. Only he can, who, thank goodness, did not step down from the cross, but remained there to complete the saving work to which God had appointed him. To be concerned about our own salvation and to find that salvation in the man on the cross, this should be high among the reasons for our attendance at this seminary. Let us therefore work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Let us drive out whatever wicked spirits still possess us, be they lust, drink, dishonesty, cynicism, conceit, or you name it, lest any of them makes us a castaway. And having swept them out and garnished our house, let us be sure to fill the vacuum left with God's Holy Spirit, which is as easily done as coming to this chapel, participating in dormitory devotion, reading God's Word, or, again, you name it. May your zeal for souls include also zeal for your own. That is the proper motivation for ministerial preparation. Who knows? The life you save may be your own. For our prayer this morning, let us sing hymn 320, "We Stand."